going from playing every game of my high school career to not playing definitely tested me again. Not as much my playing ability, but more just emotionally. Yeah. But I think it actually definitely made me better in the long run, as much as it stunk during the time. But it kind of made me have more confidence, like find like a kind of a deeper level of confidence in myself.
Welcome back to the Pitchside Podcast. I am Adam Kahn, your host, here coming to you from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Philadelphia Union are in third place in the Eastern Conference, tied for the most wins in the conference. They have the second best defensive record in the conference, with only Atlanta and Columbus Crew allowing fewer goals, 3-1-0 at home, only loss over the last four to Los Angeles Galaxy, and a big trip to Vancouver coming up this weekend. There is a lot going on with the Union, and the number one thing that's happening, they are winning, and they are getting shutouts when they do it. Ever since the first three games, that was a slow start, the Union have put it together, and they've done it with a number of different players. Even without big offseason signing Marco Fabian healthy, or when he's been suspended, the Union have still found ways to get points. They've relied on homegrown players like Brendan Aaronson, and most recently Matt Freeze in goal. They have done it by relying on someone other than Austin Trusty in defense, which hasn't happened in over a year. But Aurelien Collin, brought in for depth in the back line, stepped in last weekend and played a great match in the Union's 3-0 shutout over Montreal Impact. A win that really got rid of a lot of the demons of last season. The Impact were the ones that were largely considered to be the team that showed that Philly couldn't beat a team that bunkered, whether you really believe that was true or not, or whether that was just some late season form. That is up to you, but that is no longer something you can say about this year's Union. Montreal tried to bunker. If you watched the game, you saw that their wingers came very deep all the way into the back line or deeper in defense, and yet the Union still found a way to penetrate. Only four shots on the day for the Union, but three of them went in, and they earned a penalty, and it was a pretty clear one. Jack Elliott dragged down in the box, and Jamiro Montero stepped up and finished for his first Union goal. Montero, the other big Union offseason signing, he started at the number 10 position, but really was contributing defensively on both wings, and that allowed Philly to make sure they could overwhelm Montreal and create turnovers. And for the first half hour, they really controlled the match, and then they hung on and still played well enough to win. Didn't allow any good shots on goal, but didn't really have as much control as Jim Curtin would have liked at the end of the match. He said he was unhappy with how things had turned out. And of course, one of the reasons he was unhappy is he will be without left back Kai Wagner for at least one game, maybe longer. Wagner got a red card late in the match that was reviewed by VAR and confirmed. Originally, referee Robert Sabiga handed out a yellow, but the VAR replay made it pretty clear that Wagner was going to get a red, and he'll miss at least one game, and MLS may add an additional one on top of that after they review it and the disciplinary committee takes a look at the tackle. That opens up a spot on the back line against Vancouver. Matt Real, Fabinho, both options. You've also got Ray Gattis with the ability to move to the left, and Olivier Mbiso could step in on the right if that happens. So there are a lot of different ways Jim Curtin could play this, but the thing that stands out this season is that no matter who is put into the first 11, they have performed at a high level. You look at Brendan Aaronson, you look at Elsinho stepping in recently, you look at Corey Burke, who for a couple games was the third man on the depth chart at striker, but has recently returned to the first 11. David Akam has stepped up. No matter who you point to on the Union roster this year, they have performed. Even after a lot of criticism in the first couple matches, Harris Madunian has been exceptional as a holding midfielder. He really is the guy that spreads the ball around and allows Philly to get from back to front in a hurry. And when you look at all the pieces coming together, you have to say that this is a team that looks right now like they could be one of the better squads in the Eastern Conference. And contributing to that is that the top three teams in the East from last season all have one win apiece. New York Red Bulls, one win. NYCFC, one win. Atlanta United, one win. The Union already at four. They have 12 goals, 9 given up, and really since giving up 3 to Toronto to start the year, And then giving up what was a pretty soft penalty to Zlatan Ibrahimovic a couple weeks ago against Los Angeles Galaxy. There really hasn't been a team that has been able to penetrate Philadelphia's defense with much consistency. And Vancouver coming up this weekend has not done well offensively. They don't have a multiple goal scorer yet on the season. And then after that, you look at Cincinnati midweek as another team that hasn't really been exceptional, but has a lot more firepower than Vancouver. And then following that, May 4th, Star Wars night at Talon Energy Stadium, you've got New England Revolution coming in, yet another team that has struggled to really get off the mark. They have only 6 goals scored this season. That's not good. Luckily, Atlanta somehow only has 5 behind them, but in the East, very few teams scoring fewer than those two squads. So let's transition really quickly to this week's interview. After his MLS debut last weekend, we bring you an interview with Matt Freeze. Freeze, when he signed, I sat down and talked with him about what it meant. He's a guy that played in the academy, then went off and played at Harvard. He's someone that the Union are very high on. He's a big goalie. He's got a lot of range, and he can play with his feet. He's improved with his feet considerably, even in the short time that he's been with the first team. If you talk to the coaching staff, they'll say that they like the progress that he's making already. And of course, they are willing to put him on the bench when Carlos Miguel Coronel has played for Bethlehem Steel. So there is a real chance that Freeze could get the start in Vancouver. He and Coronel will both be in the mix. Jim Curtin, of course, will update and make the final decision on that. But you see another homegrown player for the Union who has a real chance to step into the first 11 and get his first win as a professional coming up this Saturday at 5 p.m. when the Union take on Vancouver Whitecaps. So when I talked to Freeze, of course, this was all in the future, and he didn't really know how he'd be used. There was a lot of expectations that he would be the Steel starting goalie for most of the year. Of course, instead, he's really competed to be the number two goalie thus far, and he played well when he was in. He didn't really have to do too much. The Union kept Montreal from getting any good looks, but Freeze was out of his box, controlling the area behind the defensive line, and that's a big ask for a modern goalie, is to be able to control space even if you aren't making saves on a regular basis. So let's get to that interview right now. This is Matt Freeze, Union homegrown goalie, and he spoke to us after signing his first professional contract this offseason. So first of all, congratulations on signing a homegrown contract. Tell me what this process was like and how did it feel just now?
It felt really awesome to finally be able to sign and represent Philadelphia now. The process was definitely pretty unusual and pretty long. It's been kind of my dream since I can remember to play for the Union. And I think kind of in the past 2 years, it's been looking like it might be a possibility, and then kind of in the past few months, started talking and realizing that this is definitely the right next step to take.
That's awesome. You sound very calm considering you just signed a professional contract. I guess that's good for a goalie. So why goalie? And then I guess after that, Marcia, could you tell us a little bit about what it was like when he first started playing soccer, how he got into it?
I guess why am I a goalkeeper? I think I was actually a field player until second grade. One of my neighbors was a goalkeeper for the high school team and kind of sparked my interest in it. And then I continued playing field and goalkeeper kind of 50-50 back and forth until I think 9th or 10th grade of high school.
Okay.
And then focused solely on goalkeeper. At that point, so.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about when you first, so at second grade, you were playing just field.
Yes.
So you've been playing your whole life.
Okay. Definitely, obviously been playing soccer my whole life. Kind of around that time, that I started thinking I might want to be a goalkeeper. I actually remember my mom sat me down and said I could only play baseball or soccer, that spring. And I had to pick, and I chose soccer, which I'm obviously now very happy about.
Wow. All right. Well, can you give me some background on that choice? Why why did that choice have to happen then? And why'd you choose?
I mean, it was just kind of a schedule thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Just too many sports.
Yeah. I played a bunch of other sports, but kind of knew that it was time to focus on soccer. Not at that point, but later on, the academy definitely helped me realize that.
Okay.
Where I could be in my ceiling if I focused on soccer, which I really appreciate. And then as I decided to cut everything else out, I was able to just focus on the details of soccer and dive more into it. And I'm obviously really appreciative of that.
All right, so let me get an answer out of you, Marcia. Tell me about early on watching him play soccer. When did you recognize that there was like a spark and a love there for the sport?
Oh, I think the love was there for the sport. I mean, he started playing it around 4, pretty much, like for the little kids, you know, Lower Merion and stuff. And everywhere, we moved quite a bit before fourth grade. Yeah, before fourth grade, we had moved 5 times. So I think soccer became kind of, okay, you go to a new place and you throw him in, and he always played with his next oldest brother, you know, usually in the same leagues, not same age division. You were always dragged to all the kids' games, whether it was soccer, rowing, track, whatever. So, like, just playing a sport as part of life was just always there. But as far as a spark for soccer, that it was always very fun. Never had to say, oh, we have to go. You know, it was fine. He wanted to go, and it was mostly fun that kept you going with it. You had a talent that other people saw, apparently. I don't know. We just know it was something he enjoyed doing. And then, like I say, switching to goalie, I think, was a big thing. He's always, you notice the calmness. That's a big piece of it.
Okay. So did you know which way he was going to choose when it was soccer or baseball?
Had an idea, but really a lot of it was this neighbor. He named his dog, the middle name of your dog, is after this neighbor who inspired him to become a goalkeeper. The guy played for...
it was just like this.
PC or Clemson, I forget, honestly. But we lived in the South End, and it's tough to choose a sport when you live in the South.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But he's always just had this... Part of it is the sport itself, and part of it is with the team. He identifies very strongly with the team. Frankie's here, and Frankie's a bud from a team, and that's how Matt goes through life, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just finding friends through soccer and using soccer as sort of a part of who you are?
Yeah, definitely moving. I actually kind of didn't realize it until my mom just said it, but I think moving those 4 or 5 times, the only constant that actually kind of was was there was obviously my family and then I guess soccer. I actually didn't really think about that until now. So it's kind of cool. It kind of gave me a group of friends, like kind of a home base in every state that we lived as we were moving.
When we moved back from Minnesota the last time to Pennsylvania, your uncle, like a month before we moved back, said, okay, so where is he going to play? He had you signed up, and that was in August, and all the cutoffs are like much earlier.
Yeah.
And he got you a place for,
for
Radnor team, Radnor Rec, and that's kind of how we started.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So it's interesting when I talk to some of the other guys at the academy, they always talk about it being a brotherhood. But you were only in the academy your senior year, right? Last year, but it still sounds like soccer has been sort of a brotherhood for you, like a way to find.
Yeah, it's definitely been a brotherhood in every place that I've lived. But I think that was kind of most apparent in the academy. I only was technically with them for my senior year. But I was in Union Juniors with Trusty and Matt since the first year it started.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then kind of took time away from that. And then even in high school, though, like since probably 10th and 11th grade, I was always training with the academy. So I was still kind of involved with their system and their brotherhood throughout. So that was kind of nice to be able to be part of that.
I've talked to the video analyst here, Jay Cooney. He talks about watching you play. He's watched you for a number of years.
Yeah.
He brought you to the academy a few times to play.
Yeah, so he was the goalkeeper coach at the academy. He's one who kind of brought me back into the system after I had originally been dropped, like kind of when the team went from the juniors to the academy.
Okay.
I was dropped, and just kind of had to go back to playing club and things like that. And obviously worked my butt off to get back there. And Jay was the goalkeeper coach, and he saw me saw me playing at Penn Fusion, and told me to come in. And at that point, I was literally kind of had no idea what I was doing. And he definitely showed me a work ethic. I don't know, like the way he goes about the details of goalkeeping and just playing soccer in general is like kind of inspired me to do the same. And I think that's kind of what expedited my like my soccer process.
Okay, well, will you tell me at all about what it was like being dropped and then coming back?
It sucked.
It happened to me before.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I actually don't even really think about that often either. Until now, it's like, I think when the whole system of the DA kind of happened and the team went from Union Juniors to Union Academy, I think I was in eighth or ninth grade and I got dropped. And it definitely hurt. Was not fun hearing about that. And like, I was still, you know, doing my ADT stuff at YC and stuff. And, like I would see the team training and see my friends who were still on it. And that was not fun at all. And I'm definitely happy that Jay told me to come back.
Yeah.
Look what happened now. So it's good that I came back.
So, can you tell me about what kind of work did you put in after that? So, I mean, how did you go from being someone who got dropped to basically coming back and going,
I don't know,
that they just signed you a professional contract?
Yeah, I don't, it's definitely pretty unusual. I don't know. It's not really like, I don't know. I think there were just some moments where, I didn't really doubt myself, I guess, where I was still playing, like would train a lot extra. I would train with my brother's team.
Yeah.
Like my mom was saying, he was older, like go in the backyard and do things. My mom would wake up literally at like 5:30 to drive me to school. To work out or like literally just pass against the wall at school, just because I know one of the problems was my distribution, and that's part of the reason I got cut, so it's something I worked on a lot. And I would literally, like, to work on my diving form, I would just dive onto my bed like 50 times. I'd put like a little like hurdle up, and I would have to dive over it onto my bed with the ball in my hands. So I guess it just kind of like little things, and just kept believing in myself about it.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. Right.
How did that bed survive?
Yeah, the bed survived.
So what was?
I don't know about the wall though. The best to come.
So what was that period like for you? What do you remember about that time? And when did you sort of realize that he was going to fight through it one way or another?
I never doubted he'd fight through, you know, because that's just the way he is. That's kind of the way all the family was raised. You just keep at it one step at a time. I mean, you want this major goal, like today, this is unbelievable, but you can only do it one step at a time, right?
Right.
So, you know, setting up the drills, and he was always bugging another friend, hey, can you meet me at 6 a.m. to take shots at me? And I was like, that poor other mother having to drive her kid. He ate like crazy, but in a great way, he, as a young guy, said, no, I'm going to eat healthy. And, you know, somebody made that inroad to you and said, your body's going to be what you're putting into it, which mm-hmm. is a big thing. You know, and really just the determination, but on a day-by-day basis, because you only get to the long run when you do day-by-day. Yeah.
Great. So just a couple more questions for you. Talk to me about the last couple of years. You chose to go to Harvard. You played there?
Yeah, so I went... obviously after senior year of high school, I went to Harvard. That's something that I think I committed in 10th or 11th grade to do. The first season didn't really go as expected. I didn't really get any playing time. We had a senior who was pretty good, and he definitely deserved to play. And so it was kind of an unusual situation for me, going from playing every game of my high school career to not playing. Definitely tested me again. Not as much my playing ability, but more just emotionally. Yeah. But I think it actually definitely made me better in the long run, as much as it stunk during the time. But it kind of made me have more confidence, like find like a kind of a deeper level of confidence in myself as that kind of hit me. And then I guess that was a year ago, and in the past year I've just been working a lot on individual things. Like, it was kind of difficult because Harvard, I think, has a lot of rules associated with playing there. You know, amount of time you're allowed to spend on the field and with the coaches. So a lot of it was done just with the team. And I think I'm definitely grateful for the past year and a half that I've been there. But I'm definitely ready for this next step of kind of focusing my whole life on the game and playing.
And you've trained with the Union before, right? You've trained with Andre Blake.
Yeah.
What's that been like?
I think I started training with them occasionally senior year of high school, and then I was with them pretty much every day this past summer. Andre's obviously awesome in that, but more importantly, just kind of in the locker room. Just a great guy. He and Johnny's obviously not coming back, but Johnny also took me under their wings, and they're just really helpful. Obviously I was the one always having to get their water bottles and stuff,
which is,
yeah, exactly. but like, and the important things and giving me advice and being there for me, they were definitely really, helpful.
Awesome. And so you've been to a few Union games from when you were young, right? Marcia, can you tell me a little bit about bringing
into
some of those?
Yeah, we were at the home opener, well, the opening game. And it was a big day. Matt, his brother Timmy, and they each got to bring a friend along. And, you know, certainly we never dreamed that we'd be sitting here actually looking down at this stadium one day. And then there was another time, do you remember this, when you were a ball, your team were ball boys?
Yeah.
And it's just funny looking back. I saw something about that recently, and I thought you were so little then.
Yeah.
You know, but that to you, to the whole team, was a huge event.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It was crazy, like, being on the sideline of one of their practices, like fetching their balls, and now thinking that whatever 7-8 years later I'll be on the field playing.
Do you remember, did you throw the ball to anyone specifically, or like, yes?
Not really, not that I remember.
It was just too, like, in the
moment. It was literally just, I was like pretty shell-shocked. They all like after the practice, they all like signed the jersey that we have, and I have it hanging up in my room. Latu was on the team at that point, so I'm sure I remember watching him a lot. I think like Mondragon was the goalkeeper.
Oh yeah,
he's an OG. He's definitely back then.
He's a big fella too.
Yeah, so it was definitely awesome seeing them play.
But even this fall, you would text me. You know, I'm thinking you're in the library studying, and maybe you were, but you would say, "Oh, Union's on. This is the score."
Yeah.
So didn't change.
So you're still catching all of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So you signed a contract now. What are you going to do next? What's going to happen this next year for you? What are your goals?
Definitely being ready for preseason is goal number one. I think just getting my body right and making sure I'm ready to hit it really hard when I first get out there with the team and with Oka. And I guess from there, the plan is to definitely get some experience with the Steel, get better every day in training with the first team, in-game experience with the Steel, and obviously always working hard to push and eventually try to make my way to the starting 11 or the 18 for the first team.
Awesome. And Marshall, will you be here for some games this year?
Absolutely.
Or some Steel games as well?
New adventure in our life, right?
Yep.
I have a lot of crew here for you.
Yeah.
So we'll embarrass you plenty, don't worry.
Thanks.
Plenty of time for that, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining me.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much to Matt Fries and his family for being a part of that. It was a great interview, and he's an exceptional young man, and really has been quite the revelation so far in the early goings of the season, competing for the number two goalie spot behind Andre Blake, with Blake out for a little bit with a pulled groin. Freeze has a real chance to step into the first 11, and we'll see against Vancouver whether he gets the start, whether he is the backup behind Carlos Miguel Cornell. But either way, you look at what he's done thus far, and you can see that he really has made an impression on the coaching staff, and he's someone that you can expect to continue to move up through the organization, really challenge for more minutes anytime that Andre Blake is out of the lineup. Blake, of course, the surefire number one starter when he's healthy. He's grown into such a good shot stopper, and he can control his box in a way that few goalies in MLS can. But Freeze, someone that really looks to be the next wave of talent coming out of the Union Academy. And speaking of coming out of the Union Academy, if you were at the game last weekend and you saw the Union romp over Montreal 3-0, you could have stuck around and seen the follow-up, which was Bethlehem Steel. They did not do quite as well. They lost 3-0 to Indy 11. However, you saw a lot of the young Union talent on display. You saw Derek Jones, Matt Real, who may get the start against Vancouver. You saw Carlos Miguel Cornell as well. And another player that you saw was Benafemu, central defender. And in his midweek press conference, Steel head coach Brendan Burke said that Afemu is one of the key players that the club is tracking as they look to build the roster going forward. Afemu is a big central defender. He really made big strides last season, and played a huge role in Steel's run through the playoffs where they beat Pittsburgh Riverhounds on the road. Afemu, Brendan Burke said, is someone who is competing to get a first-team contract in the next 12 to 18 months. So if you are attending Steel games, if you've thought about attending Steel games or watching them on ESPN Plus, where all USL championship games are streamed, he is someone to really keep an eye on. The other player that you probably want to watch is Michi Ingolina. He's an attacker who just every time he's on the ball looks electric. He and Ferris up front are two young players that arrived last season to Steel and have made a big impression from the get-go. Ferris has really started to come into his own this year. He's a big, fast striker, but Ingolina on the ball is just he's, I think electricity is the metaphor that you have to go with every time you see him. His change of pace is incredible, and he spent time with Union during preseason and is someone that is really going to look to push to find a place on the first team. His natural position is probably on the wing, with Philly often playing a 4-4-2 diamond this year. It'll be interesting to see where he fits in if he ever gets the call up, but until then he'll be on Steel, and he looks like someone who's really going to try and push to get the first team's attention over the next few months and over the next year or so. So those are two guys to keep an eye on. If you're following Steel at all, you can also look at Academy products like Issa Rian, who's out with an injury for a few weeks, but also Zach Sandy coming out of Villanova has had a very strong start to the season. He's made a USL Championship Team of the Week, and every time he's on the ball and pockets of space, seems like he can create something. Someone else who's really made a big impression, Jack DeVries. He's a young player, came out of the Union Academy, hasn't signed a professional contract, but has been able to play all over the field for Steel this year. He's played up front. He's played as an attacking midfielder. Someone with a good left foot, and for an organization that is looking for left-footed players, DeVries really stands out as someone who could be part of that next wave of talent if you're following the Union Academy and Bethlehem Steel. Of course, the other big Steel news recently was Schneider Borgelin signing out of the Union Academy as a striker for Steel. He got his first start against Indy 11, still looking for that first goal. He and Patrick Bokwi are both attackers who are very highly thought of, and Borgelin signed his contract. Bokwi still playing with the Union Academy. All right, that's it for this week's edition of the Pitchside Podcast. Please rate, subscribe, share, follow us, do everything you can to make sure that we get the word out about the Union and their young players that are coming through. You've already seen Brendan Aaronson as the very tip of the next wave of talent coming through. Of course, Austin Trusty in his second season. Mark McKenzie, who would have gotten his first start of the year last weekend if he hadn't had emergency appendectomy. He recently posted on social media that he is recovering well. So best of luck to Mark McKenzie. He's one of the best podcast guest we've ever had on, and really just someone that brightens your day every time you see him around the office at this organization. So that is it. Again, I am Adam Cann. Follow me on Twitter at Adam T. Cann. Send me any questions you have for the Pitchside Pod. Follow as I put up some big play breakdowns throughout the season, looking at how the Union want to play and some of the things that they want to implement in Ernst Tanner's first full season in charge. Jim Curtin, of course, has this team playing very well right now, and this is one of the stronger teams in the Eastern Conference. If you haven't been following, get on board. Next home games, May 1st, May 4th. Got some great events coming up around them. Star Wars Night on May 4th. Also a camp out on May 4th. You can bring the kids and stick around and camp out on Talon Energy Stadium turf if you would like. Be showing a Star Wars movie following the game against New England Revolution. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I'm Adam Kahn. This is the Pitch Side Podcast. Rate, follow, subscribe, and share. Thank you so much. See you next time.